Well, I've been asked to do a summary, and I will keep it pretty short. Reminded of the brother was asked to take a word, and he read, "Finally, brethren," and then it went on for 2 hours. But I won't do that. So I just thought I'd recap what we've learned today. It's difficult to summarise everything because we've learned and heard about a lot during the whole day. But just going over the four aspects about, firstly, brotherly love. Really, I thought that it was the vertical. It's the love of God that is the driver. So you've got the vertical, and that comes first. And then when you've understood and enjoyed the love of God, then you've got the horizontal. As we read in Worthing recently, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So that once we've experienced that love of God for ourselves, then we can share it one to another. And that's where the thought of brotherly love comes in. All these things are very challenging, I think. I think hopefully you'd agree with me that everything we've learned today has been quite challenging. But that's good. We've had a good day, we've enjoyed it, but it's not just the fact we've enjoyed the day, but we should go out of this place as challenged too, and motivated. That's, I think, the desire of those that have had this idea, is that young Christians, and especially young, but all of us, should be motivated in these four points. So the love of God, and then love towards one another. The horizontal, and the vertical, and then the horizontal. And then we were hearing about faith and hope. Faith, believing what is not seen. It is a system of faith. We haven't seen Jesus, actually, and yet he's as real as anything. If we've had to do with him, he's a real person. We can't see him, but the eye can see by faith. It says in Scripture, we see Jesus at the right hand of God. And then hope, it's not a vain hope. I hope it will be fine tomorrow. But the Christian's hope is certain, it's guaranteed. And we as Christians have that hope. If you believe in Jesus, you have that hope in your heart. I've got a colleague who's going through deep depression at the moment, and it's very sad. It says in the Scripture, without God, without hope. That really brings us on to the last point, but I don't want to jump the gun, but we have that hope we can pass on, can't we? The examples of faith, it's good to read stories of Christians that they exercise faith, you know. I would encourage the younger ones to read stories like George Muller, you probably heard of him, in the 19th century. He actually lived by faith. He trusted God day by day. And if he wanted something for his orphanage, that he cared for souls, the next day, if he prayed for it, the next day, something would appear on the doorstep. It's actual faith. And I would encourage you to read stories like George Muller to give you an example. Unfortunately, in this day and age, we're so materialistic, aren't we, that we really, that trusting God, which is what piety is, really, is piety in the Scriptures. It's really just taking God at his word, trusting him day by day. So faith and hope should have practical effects. I think that was said in one of the slides, or it was conveyed, the idea that it's not just a theory and not just a picture on the wall, but faith and hope should have a practical effect in our lives. And then worship, in spirit and truth. I thought that was a good presentation. In spirit, so that it's led by the Holy Spirit, and it's from within. It's not a mechanical something. It's not something we just It's not like a machine that you just turn it on and turn it off again on a Sunday morning. But it's in spirit, it's living. It's something that comes from within and it's expressed. And truth, that's the other thing too, that it's based on the Word of God. You know, a lot of worship these days, and I like some modern worship, but a lot of it is you wonder where it's actually coming from. What's it based on? But true worship is based on the Word of God. It's scriptural. And the truths of Scripture, the gospel truths of Scripture, should be fundamental to our worship, in spirit and in truth. And then the last point we were hearing about from Tim, about reality in evangelism, and I thought it was rather good. Christ first and soul second. My love of Christ should drive everything that I do. We don't just evangelize or try and spread the gospel to beef up our numbers in our meeting or church or whatever. It's not a question of a lot of big churches in America, they call them mega churches, thousands of people, and the more they get in the door, the better. If you click, 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 the more you get in. But it's not like that, you know. It's based on our love for, so what should drive speaking to people about Christ? It's our love for Christ, first of all. He's loved us first, and in return we can, we love him, we want to serve him, we want to please him. We want to do everything we can to tell others about our Saviour. There was two, I'm going to finish in a minute, but there was two things I thought of in regard to reality and evangelism. You can read a story. I won't do it now because it will take the rest of the evening. But 2 Kings chapter 7, you can read it for yourself. There's a story, some rather strange chapters in Kings, but this is an interesting one. 2 Kings 7. And the Israelites, there's four lepers, and they find that the city of Syria is empty. And they go in and help themselves to all that's happened. God has worked a miracle, and the Syrians have fled, and that the city's empty, and all the treasures and everything that was available. And these poor lepers, like we are, but except for God's grace, we're lepers, aren't we? Sinful. And yet they came into the city and they found all the treasures available. But then they said, this is a day of good tidings. We shouldn't keep it to ourselves. And they went and told the king. And that's just like the gospel, dear friend. If we had such wonderful blessing, we've come into such wonderful treasures, then we shouldn't keep it to ourselves, but we should share it with others. And then finally, in Acts 8, again, when the subject came up, I thought Acts 8 would be a good one. And lo and behold, Tim chose it. That Philip, and it's nothing to do with me, but the Philip, what impressed me is that it says he began from that scripture. You know, if you're going to reach souls for Christ, you have to start where they are. It wasn't an accident that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53. God had ordained it that way. But, you know, when Philip joined the chariot, he didn't say, well, you know, I've got this wonderful plan of salvation. He said he began from that scripture. He started where the man was. And, you know, we live in a world where people are all over the place in their souls, but we need to start where they are and preach the gospel. That's all I have to say. The 4 points, reality. Let's just make sure I've got it right. Covered it all. Reality and brotherly love. Reality in worship, reality in faith and hope, and reality in evangelism. Well, perhaps we can just finish with a hymn. I'm not sure this is exactly about reality, but it certainly conveys the thought. Number 55 in the yellow book. My hope is built on nothing less. I'm sure that is, you've got faith and hope in there. Number 55 in the yellow book. Okay.